You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello there. Welcome back. Welcome to another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. This week, it's you and me, dear listener, dear viewer, just you and me. And we are continuing exploring the themes of anti-manipulation. This time, we're looking at some of the darker side of NLP. Writing the book Anti-Manipulation. Obviously, we have to cover NLP at some point, and that's what we're exploring in this episode. We're just taking a little cursory look at some of the darker aspects of NLP. Excuse me. So let's dive in. Just before we do, please remember, if you enjoy this episode, give us a like, give us a subscribe, share it far and wide, give us a comment, and also remember to rate us on your favorite podcast platform. That really helps to get the word out far and wide. So NLP, what do we mean by NLP? For those who perhaps aren't too sure what we mean, NLP, it stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and it was developed by Richard Bandler and John Grinder back in the 1970s originally, and they developed it as initially as a technique to kind of model how people worked, how the mind worked, how people did things, how people got their results. And they used this NLP to model many very very well-respected practitioners who were getting great results for their clients, including the likes of Virginia Satir, Milton Erickson, loads of these sorts of people. And from all of that studying how experts in their fields were getting great results. Most of the work was done in the field of therapy and personal development and so on. From that, they developed a framework of tools, which is usually what people mean when they refer to NLP. It's those tools which work directly with the unconscious mind to help us make changes, help us tweak, adjust the programming of the mind, however you want to call it. All of that comes under the banner of NLP. Now, NLP itself in therapy context can have some amazing results, and in coaching as well, it can have some really powerful positive results. And it can work really, really quickly. As you might imagine, it's using the best of the best. It's using the best of the techniques used by the best of people in their field. So, of course, you're going to get great results from it. The classic, I've mentioned before, the lady I helped conquer fear of snakes, and she got rid of her phobia of snakes in under 10 minutes. We did that purely using NLP, for example. Great many people use it to get fantastic benefits and achieve lifelong positive change. It can be a very, very powerful tool. However, there's always an however, isn't there, with these things? However, NLP is a tool. It's just a tool when you get right down to it. And just like any other tool, the tool itself isn't good, it isn't bad, it's how we use it that makes it good or bad. It's whether we use it for positive, powerful, positive results, two positives in there, well, we're allowed it, or whether we use it for more negative aims. And NLP is the same. NLP can be misused to attempt to manipulate people. And there are some very seasoned salespeople and etc. Speakers who misuse NLP in this way to attempt to manipulate. Now, I must point out, I'm not saying all salespeople are wrong. I'm not saying all speakers are evil. Far from it. What I am saying is there are a few who take the tools of NLP and completely distort, misuse them for their own personal gain rather than using them to help both parties. I'll give you an example of how NLP can be helpful in a sales context, because a lot of salespeople will use NLP, some of the tools from NLP, because it can be helpful. Imagine I walk onto a used car lot. Chances are I'm there because I want to buy a used car. That's probably why I'm there, right? I know it. The salesman knows it. We all know I'm there to buy a used car. It's not a question of the salesman attempting to persuade me to buy a car. It's simply a case of whether or not I buy a car from this car lot or from another one down the road. It depends what they have on offer and if there's the right car, and the salesman conducts the whole process the right way and I feel right about the car, I buy it from them. If not, I might end up buying pretty much the same car from a dealer down the road. So the car salesman will or might use some aspects of NLP just to strengthen our connection, our rapport, and to make sure that we get the best deal, and that I end up buying that car from them and not the same car from his competitor. There's no manipulation involved there. Everybody knows I'm there to buy a car, and the end result is I buy a car. However, NLP can be misused by some salespeople to manipulate us into buying stuff. We'll go into a lot more detail about that in the book itself. And excuse me, I just want to give a few illustrative examples of the sorts of things that people would do, so you can be on the lookout for it. Much of the time, or a lot of the time, it will be around manipulating your emotions. Emotional manipulation makes it much easier for them to then sell us things that we don't necessarily actually want or need, but they drive the emotion high, get us into that emotional state. The logic side of it just disappears. They can use NLP to create a very strong emotional desire or want for a thing, even though we didn't necessarily actually want it in the first place. And one very, very powerful and frankly disgusting example of this is the pit of despair. I'm calling it that because that's what it's actually referred to. People who use this, they actually call it the pit of despair. So the way the pit of despair works is you get the prospective client to feel bad about their situation, to feel really bad, to feel... If you get them in tears about it, then that's considered a win. Yes, seriously. If you get your client, your prospective client, prospective purchaser, into floods of tears about their situation, that's considered a win for those using the pit of despair. Because what you do is you get them feeling as though they are in a pit of desperation. Life, it sucks. They really hate it. The pain, ramping up the pain and the negative emotion and cranking it up and making them see that life's going to be even worse and worse and worse. And it's just a horrible place to be in. Then you come sweeping in like the knight charging in, or the cavalry racing in at the last second. You have the solution. You have the answer to all of their problems. You can transform and turn their life around and make their life a wonderful utopic bliss. If only they'd buy what you are offering. And that's the pit of despair. And I've seen it used and abused by a lot of people over the years, to devastating effect. I mean, think about it. They get you in that pit, so you're actually potentially in floods of tears about your situation. And they then say, but it doesn't have to be that way. What if I told you there was a way you could turn this around? What if there was a way you could have all of this? What if there was a way you could make it work beyond your wildest dreams? Imagine what that would look like. Oh, wow, yes, I would love that. I would do anything. Wouldn't you do anything to get that? I would do anything to get that, to get out of this pit. The good news is you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is give me XYZ pounds. We work together and your problems are solved. Fantastic, here's my card. Let's do it. Sounds simplistic, but done well, it works. And it's a really sucky, nasty, horrible, manipulative way to go about doing business with people. But there are a great many out there who use it. So how do they do this? Very briefly, what you would do is there's various ways that you might do it. One of the ways might be to get the person to consider, okay, what would you ideally like in life? How would you like life to be? What's the ideal outcome you'd like? Why do you want that? And get them feeling really enthusiastic. Just imagine you've got this thing you want. You've got this outcome you want. Imagine what your life is like. Really step into it. Really imagine that life. Feel how wonderful it is. What are you saying to yourself? What's it like for your family and your friends? Another nasty way in which they manipulate. Use not only your emotions and emotional blackmail, but bringing your family and friends into the picture as well. Because sometimes we go, well, yeah, this really sucks, but nah, it's only me that hurts, I can cope. If they then get us thinking about our family and friends as well, and how if we do nothing, it will hurt our family and friends. That's also used as part of this. That's a really nasty, sucky thing to do. So get them imagining what their perfect life would be like, what it would be like if they achieved this thing, what it would be like for their family and friends, what you'd all be doing, how wonderful it is. Get them on a real high about that. Then get them to imagine what life is like now. Just remind yourself how life is now. Now, already we're going to be feeling on a bit of a downer because we've been at a nice high point. And we're now contrasting it with where we are now, which is, yeah, we haven't got that stuff. Oh, I feel a bit bad now, actually, because I would love all that, and I haven't got it. So we're already starting to build up the contrast there. Getting them to see the difference between where they want to be and where they are now. And then you really play on the emotions, really crank it up. Really get them missing what it is that they want. Really get them seeing how much it hurts not having it. Get them seeing how much it hurts their friends, their family, their children. Again, nasty, manipulative misuse of people's emotions. Get them to really imagine how sucky life is now. And imagine going out into the future. Imagine going into the future and you didn't do anything to create this wonderful new life you like. Imagine how sucky life's going to be if you don't change. Imagine how horrible it's going to be. All those missed opportunities. All those things you could have had but you don't have. Get them really, really despairing about how awful it is. Really building up that contrast. Get them digging deep into that pit of despair. Perhaps even bringing up past regrets, which maybe you've had them divulge earlier in the process, and you can now really throw these into it as well. All those other missed opportunities you've had, all those other times where you were given an opportunity and you missed it, which is why things suck now. Imagine how much more things are going to suck when you don't take opportunities for the future. Imagine how much more your future is going to suck. All these sorts of nasty things, and really, really ramping it up. So this person is deep in that pit of despair. Ideally, from the salesperson's point of view, in tears. I've seen it happen. At events, at webinars, at one-on-one sales. It happens. Then you throw the lifeline. Remind them of what it is that... Remind them of where they are, the pain of where they are. Remind them of what they want. And show them there just happens to be an easy path to get to where you want. If you trust... If you follow the expert's guidance, all the while they're talking about positive things and experts and leaders, anchoring it into themselves, so you start to see them as the leader, the savior, your knight in shining armor. Wouldn't you like that? If there was a simple way to do this, isn't it worth it? No matter what the cost, isn't it worth it to you, to your family, to your children, to your loved ones? Isn't it worth it to do whatever you have to do now to make that bright future happen? If not for you, for them, for your family. Isn't that worth it? Wouldn't you do anything for that? Oh God, yes, I would do anything for that. Bam! You have now hooked them. into buying whatever tat nonsense you're selling. You've now hooked them in. Congratulations, you've manipulated this person into buying your rubbish. And it happens on a daily basis. There are people out there right now who are being subject to this sort of manipulative approach to selling. That's just one of the many ways in which aspects of NLP can be misused or abused to manipulate us into buying stuff we don't need or want. And this sort of stuff is actively taught as well. There are trainers out there actively teach people this stuff. It's really deep and unpleasant. So, okay, this happens. What can we do about it? I mean, there's no point in knowing about this stuff if we can't do anything about it, right? What can we do about it? First thing, just being aware that it happens is a great form of defense. So just being aware that this happens is a great starting point. Because once you're aware that it happens, it can be slightly harder for you to fall for it. What you can do, though, is you can actively spot when this is happening. When you're being invited to imagine a great positive future, it's kind of go along with it. Yeah, it's lovely to imagine these things, but just keep a check on, okay, I bet they're going to contrast this with a negative situation where I am, which, sure enough, you want that future. You don't have it at the moment. Yes, there is a contrast there. But don't let that overwhelm you emotionally to the point where you sign up for anything just to get out of there. It's like torturers used to do in days of old, and heck, even in some places, even now it happens. But they torture you, break you down in so much pain and torture you until you reach the point where you will say or do anything to make it stop. And that's what some of them do when they misuse NLP with the pit of despair. It's a very, very strong tool, very strongly used one. But when you spot it's happening, kind of mentally pause and perhaps don't consider the negatives as strongly as they're pushing you to. Perhaps while they're pushing you to do that, perhaps consider, okay, I don't have that, but what do I have? I can be grateful for how things are at the moment. Things aren't going that badly. Things are going well in some aspects. Throw in a little bit of gratitude. Mix it up a little bit. That will lessen the emotional impact. And above all, remind yourself, I'm being manipulated here. There will be a sale that will come any minute now. So that when the sale does come, you can be a little bit better prepared to go, no. This is not for me at this point. Or no, I need time to think about it so I can think about it without being emotionally invested in it. Or without being emotionally driven. Oh, that is a killer. They will the scrupulous salesperson, they'll understand. Sure, you need some time to think about it. I get that. Obviously, they want to sell you now rather than later, because the longer you take to make a decision, the less likely you are to buy it. But the scrupulous salesperson will respect and understand that. They might attempt to kind of go, well, what is it you need to think about? And try and attempt to solve it all there. But if you remain steadfast, no, I need time to think about this because I'm in a very emotional place at the moment, as you can probably understand. I need time to think. I never make snap decisions. The scrupulous one will, perhaps grudgingly, accept that and respect that. And they'll then move on to, okay, well, when should we have a follow-up call? Shall I call you tomorrow morning? Would that be good? Or shall I call you tomorrow afternoon? Or whatever. So they move on to scheduling the next step. Not of the purchase, but of next step of getting in touch to see whether you are going to buy or not. The unscrupulous, they will keep pushing and pushing and pushing you to make a decision right there. Because they know that once the emotion is taken out, you're much less likely to buy. So that's some red flags to look for there. And that's just one of the ways in which NLP is misused. It is a very, very powerful one. very powerful way in which it, can be misused to manipulate us into buying stuff we neither need nor indeed want. So there you have it. Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. Hopefully you found this little snippet interesting and of use. There'll be plenty more coming. I'll do some more episodes on this, probably do some blogs on it. Definitely there'll be a lot more about it in the book Anti-Manipulation when that comes out. But let me know what you thought. Drop me a line. Leave me a comment. Have you encountered this sort of thing before? How did it feel to you when you were in it, going through it? What other examples have you seen? Drop me a line, pop a comment wherever you see this. Please do share this episode far and wide. Give us a like, share. Remember to subscribe to it on your favorite podcast platform. And please do give us a rating on your favorite podcast platform. All these things help to spread the word, get the episode out, and get the show out further, far and wide. Because the more people give comments, the more people rate it, the more it will get flagged up to other people. And that's it for now. I hope you have a fantastic week. I'll catch you again in another episode very soon. Till then, take care. Look after yourself. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.